I want to spend some time in the Word, and I want to talk to you about our church and children. I've been driving back and forth a bit and spent lots of time on the road, piling up the kilometers, and I'm becoming familiar with landmarks and where I am. And I went and bought a MP3 player, and I loaded a bunch of my favorite music, and my truck, man, I know you're going to have to go, but my truck is an 89 Chevy 350. I think it's cool. But in 1989, they didn't put CD players in the truck. They put tape decks in the truck. And so I have this little thing that converts. You push it in the tape deck, and you plug it into your MP3 player, and you can listen to your music, right? Now, here's the problem with that thing. It's really small and hard to read. And I find myself becoming impatient, not being familiar with the dials. And I must look kind of funny at times because I'm trying to get the music going and make sure everything's connected, and I'm swerving all over the road, right? And it, Mark, go like this for a minute, okay? It's bad, right? I shouldn't be doing it. And I've realized that I need to keep my eyes on the road, not on the radio. It reminds me of lots of things that we do where we've lost kind of focus of what's important. We've sort of lost touch with what we really need to be doing, and we become distracted by other stuff. It's easy to be focused on what music's on or what radio station or getting your MP3 player to work than on driving safely and being aware of what's happening around you, because you become comfortable with it. You see, the why is important to God. Why do we meet? Why do we do church? Why do we have kids' ministries? Why do we... And sometimes we begin to do church and do life in community and do relationship with God without keeping the why in focus. And we can become a little bit distracted by the little things and a little bit off focus. And I want to remind you why it's so important that we have great kids' ministries and why children matter to God. I want to remind you that Jesus shows us in immense ways how important these kids are and how important they should be to us. And I want to rediscover a little bit that sense that we're not just running a program to look after kids. We're not just getting the noisy ones out of the sanctuary. We're not just doing Sunday school or something like that for no reason. We want to intentionally and specifically reinforce biblical truth in the lives of children and love them and connect with their lives because they matter to God. I did a little research on children in our world, and I was staggered by what I found. 14 million children last year born died before they reached the age of 5. 10 million of those children died from 5 conditions. And the top 3 conditions that kids are dying from around our world are this. Get this, 5 million kids died from diarrhea-related illness. They couldn't keep enough moisture in their body, enough fluid in their body, and they literally died from dehydration. 3 million children died from measles-related complications, easily treatable. And 2 million from respiratory or pneumonia-related problems. In 90 countries around our world, 40% of the population is under the age of 15 because of the AIDS pandemic. And in several countries of our world, 50% of their population is under the age of 15 years of age. In our culture, outside the doors of this church in the community of Cold Lake, over half of the kids in the schools have experienced some form of family breakdown and are in blended families. Less than 6% of the homes in our community attend any given church or place of training. And the kids are given no moral compass. And we are experiencing greater instances of abuse and neglect than ever before. That is the reality of what's happening in our world. And here we are, we're the church. We've got the gospel, we've got the truth. We've got this message about how God loves us and cares about us and sent his son to die for us. This life-transforming thing. and things are going sideways outside our doors. Well, let's talk about why we would get involved. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Jesus has been out with the disciples. And I don't want you to miss the significance, I think, of this, that right before this, in verse 14 of Mark 9, he's healed a demon-possessed boy, a young boy, a son of somebody. And then Jesus is walking with the disciples. It says in verse 30 that they left that place and they passed through Galilee. And catch this, Jesus didn't want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. So they're on the road, they're traveling incognito, they're not going from big speaking engagement to big speaking engagement. Jesus has done something significant in the life of a child, and they're moving along, and it says in verse 33, they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" I'm very happy to see that even the close disciples of Jesus traveling with the teacher argued. It gives me hope for some of you. That's a little aside, don't you? And I love their response. They kept quiet, right? So it's like, ooh, he busted us. Here's what they were arguing about. They kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "If anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and servant of all." Then he does something astounding. He took a child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." The first thing I notice about God's heart and God's heart for kids is that we've got to be servants. I like the context of this passage. The disciples are having this discussion like, "He likes me better than you." "I bet I get to cast the next demon out." "Don't like to say anything, but the next time somebody has to walk on water, it'll be me." And they're having this little conversation about who's more important in the life of Jesus. And they're ashamed of it when they get there. They know it's not consistent with the master's teaching. And I like that Jesus doesn't say, "You're not supposed to be significant." I love that he doesn't slam them and say, you know, the desire to be significant in the kingdom, the desire to be great, the desire to live your potential to the full for God isn't the wrong desire. It's simply twisted by sin. And you see the concern of Jesus where he says, "You just don't understand how that greatness looks. You've got it all backwards. You still think that you need to politically or somehow strategically or climb the ladder of success when really that greatness that you seek, that being all you were created to be, is about serving others." And he corrects them. He says, "Greatness is measured by servanthood." And then Jesus does something bizarre. He gives them an object lesson. He looks around and he sees a child and he says, "Come here." And remember, the passage was very specific. It told us he gathered the 12 around him and he's teaching them. This is an intentional time set aside. And he takes his child and he puts him in the middle and he says, "See this kid? A child in that culture was a symbol of great unimportance. It was only a child. They couldn't vote for you. They couldn't give you money. There was no political payback for serving children. In fact, my experience with children is that they pretty much take for granted you're going to care for them. My buddy has a little girl, and when they drop her off at our house, she just comes in and takes over. I mean, she's just awesome. But she just assumes that we're going to look after whatever it is she needs. And if she's hungry, we're going to feed her. And if she's thirsty, we're going to give her a drink. And that our home is her home. And if she wants to watch a movie, we will accommodate her. But isn't it interesting that she has that kind of trust? You're an adult. You're supposed to look after me. They don't make a big deal that you sacrifice for them. In fact, it's not till you grow up and have kids of your own and you're trying to pay the bills and run things that you phone mom and dad and go, "Yeah, sorry, and thanks." Because the sacrifices that your parents made become clear to you. Jesus says, true greatness is serving the defenseless, the downtrodden, the weak. And when you do that, you're doing what my heart desires. He says, here's the object lesson standing right in front of you, this little child who doesn't really have a clue, all of the stuff going on around them, to serve them, that's greatness. And then Jesus matches his actions and his words, and you see him taking the child in his arms. And he picks them up, and it's visible and it's real, and he says, when you welcome them, you welcome me. And when you serve them, you reflect the Father who sent me. And so you want to be a disciple? You want to bear the name follower of Jesus? You want to be, and you know, in that culture, to be a disciple meant that you were being trained up to do everything that the Master did, and they even expected that you would surpass the Master. You want to do this, you're going to learn to take these kids in your arms and to serve them because they matter to the guy you represent. They matter to God. Well, he goes on and says, I want you to serve them in my name. I think the reasons why we do something and our heart in it always matters. You know, there's many reasons to do something, right? You do it because you have to. You do it because you get something back. You'll do it because somebody's going to check up on you and find out you didn't do it, or because they have the expectation that you do it. But when Jesus says, when you welcome them in my name, he speaks of a heart that is reflected in action. The motivation is a love that we want to reflect Jesus. You know what's interesting to me? Kids know what you think, yes? Come on. If I was to take your kids, and some of you teachers out there, you're going to nod because you know more about many of these homes than the parents want you to know, because the kids are honest. And they know what you think. Kids can tell instinctively if you value their words and opinions or if you're just letting them babble. My son stood me up the other day. We were driving, I think, from Edmonton home. And everybody was in the van, and he was telling me some story, and I was not interested. It was snowing. The roads were full. It was late at night. And he finally said, you haven't heard a word I said. And I said, oh, no, I heard lots of your words. They just didn't make any sense to me. And he went, oh, totally frustrated. He knew I wasn't listening. You know when somebody is just being polite and when they're paying attention to what you say. Your kids know. They know if you care about their hurts and their victories. They know if you genuinely hurt with them when a friend breaks their heart or when something goes sideways. They know when you're celebrating with them. And when they're telling you about something that's so exciting, I got a dog for Christmas or whatever it is, they know if you're happy for them or if you're faking it. They can tell. They're drawn to people who care. They're drawn to a safe place. And Jesus says, the heart of God for these little ones is this big. And so if you want to be great, I want you to be involved in their lives. I want you to welcome them. I want you to serve them. I want you to care about them. Not because you have to, not because you're going to get something back, not because you get your brownie points, not because you can check it off. Yep, I did my weekend children's church. But because they matter to God and they should matter to you. And the kids instinctively know. You want to know what happens when somebody really cares about them? They can't wait to be around them. You ever notice that? Think back to your kids if you have them, or the kids you've seen. Or think back to your life and think back to somebody you couldn't wait to hang out with and spend time with. Why? They cared about you. They loved you. They were interested in you. And Jesus has this phenomenal object lesson as he picks this child up and he puts his arms around him and he says, look, this is what greatness is about. The things that matter to the heart of God matter to me. Well, thirdly, I think we need to remove all the hindrances from kids experiencing that kind of a heart. I'm going to take you to another passage. It's found in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 15 to 17. Now, Jesus has been telling parables and been doing some things, and there's teaching going on, and all of the big wigs have been around. The Pharisees have been asking a whole bunch of questions. And right after this passage, we have the story about the rich young man that comes to Jesus and says, "What do I need to do?" And so in this context of active ministry and lots of stuff happening, and this was a big deal, we find this interesting passage. It says, "People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. But when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.'" Now, this is a rich passage. We could spend a long time here. But I want you to notice Jesus rebuking the hindrance of the children being in his presence and knowing him. I want you to notice the importance he places on the fact that that is the simplicity and the faith and the desire that we need to embrace this kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. The disciples of Jesus are told to remove any hindrances that keep children from encountering Jesus. So what are some of the things that hinder children from knowing about Jesus? What are some of the things in our culture that would prevent children from encountering Jesus? I think the first thing that came to me was selfishness. My time is too valuable. I deserve a break. Come on, Pastor. I worked this many hours at work this week, and I ran to this and this and this, and I even missed my favorite television show. I was so busy. My wife makes me help with the chores. It's unbelievable. Some of you are laughing, like, and some of you are going, "Yeah, that is unbelievable, isn't it?" And now you're telling me that I should get involved in the life of a kid? That I should maybe take a turn in the church or volunteer somewhere where I'm serving children? I don't have time for that. When I come to church, I want you to preach to me. I want you to unpack that word in a way that I can take it and it makes me feel good and I can leave for another week. And yet selfishness is one of the hindrances to kids encountering Christ. How about my preferences matter more than others? I don't like kids. They kind of smell. They don't like me. Or how about I want to serve someone who can appreciate my sacrifice? I want to serve them only if they can respond to me in a way that makes me feel better. Some other things that hinder children encountering God is theological error. You being unclear about what you believe, unable to pass on truth because you haven't gathered and known truth yourself. And so you say, "Yeah, I have a passion to do that, but I have nothing to teach them." Not growing in your walk, passing on poor theology. Theological error hinders kids from knowing about God. Resources hinder kids knowing about God. Not spending money on space, materials, or tools. Not having our people who have gifts to use in that area be freed up from serving in other areas to minister to kids. Sometimes we get so focused on the adult ministries that we're running or the things that we're doing that are a little more glamorous, we forget to go back and say, "You know what? You have a heart for kids and you're serving over here. We want to release you to go over here and work because that is where you're great." And taking our resources and investing them at the very best level. And a lack of intention, I think, hinders our ministry to kids. Not seeing the possibility in them. Not planning to reach them in Jesus' name. Not being intentional in what we do. And not being involved. Simple apathy. So let's ask the big question. So what? You guys are so slow at getting that. Every week I want to ask this question. So what? Yeah. Here's what we know. Okay? Jesus said to the disciples, those who are following him and wanting to be like him, when you serve the little ones, you're serving me. When you welcome them in my name, you're welcoming the Father. This is important stuff. And that it's important for us to remember that God has called us to care for the weak, the defenseless, the small. And that we are challenged in Scripture and commanded by the heart of God to serve kids. Secondly, we need to serve them in the name of Jesus, not out of duty, not out of obligation, but because they matter to God's heart, they matter to our heart. And they know when it's sincere and they know when it's contrived. And they know when we put effort into it and they know when we're faking it. And we need to remember that we are representing Jesus to them. The latest statistic I had is that 80% of the people that sit in this room heard about Jesus, encountered him, and made a preliminary decision to follow him before the age of 18. Okay? So before the age of 18, 80% of the people in this room were exposed to the gospel and responded to the gospel. We are doing a lousy job at reaching people once they've set out on their life course. And I don't know why that is, and I think that can change, but we need to remember that the greatest impact that we're having and the greatest opportunity that exists is to get kids when they're young and build into their lives. The Catholic Church had a saying, give us a child until he's six and we'll change the world. We know that children matter to God. We know that we're commanded to serve them. We know we're commanded to go in Jesus' name. We know that Jesus said to his followers, his disciples, remove all the hindrances, let the little children come. And so we're proposing something. You see, we've been trying to do some kids' ministry stuff here. And we've got a great program downstairs, and our time wasn't working out real well. We weren't finding people from the community getting up and coming to Sunday school. In fact, we were finding that it was probably harder to get kids that didn't know Jesus into Sunday school because even some of our families were having trouble getting up and going to Sunday school. And so we had volunteers that had a revolving group of people all the time and were a little bit discouraged and this great program and this great chance to show Jesus. And we said, well, hey, here's a thought. We want to spend a little more time in the Word, and we want to give it a little more opportunity in our services for response, and we want to just be a little more time sensitive, because if my neighbor comes to church, I want him to know that at noon I'm letting him go, and he's not used to the whole church thing. And if his kids come to church, I want them to hear about Jesus in a way that's appropriate for them. And I want them to be able to go downstairs and encounter teaching authentically from people who love them about what this means to know God. I want them to know the stories. I'm tired of doing premarital counseling and weddings with couples that can't even tell me the Easter story. They can't tell me the Christmas story. And if you think I'm making this up, I'm not. I can introduce you to them. And they're young men and women that are getting married and they need a minister, and they come in and they find me, and I start to talk to them, and they've never been to church as children. And their parents just never made that important. And nobody ever reached out, and they don't even know the story of Jesus. And so here's what we're asking you to do. We're asking you to pray about it, and we're asking you to respond. We're asking you to sign up. We want to put together some teams of people that would work on intentional three-week segments. And we've got great materials to give you to use. And we want to invite you to come downstairs. And we're going to try this for a season and see how it works. But on a Sunday morning from 10:30 to 11, we want to sing together as a family. We want to worship together as a family. We want the kids involved. And we want to do some family life stuff. And then at 11, we want to send the kids downstairs. And we've got this great program designed to reach them at their age group. And there's a big time story, and there's crafts, and there's shepherds needed for small groups. And we just want you to sign up and say, you know what, Pastor? We will commit to taking a three-week stint along with some other people downstairs. We'll intentionally say we're not going to be in the service, but during that 3 weeks, we're going to be downstairs, and we're going to love the kids that are there. I'll read the story over. I'll go through the materials. I'll be a part of a play down there. I'll be a part of craft. Whatever your gift is, whatever your mix is, maybe you're just going to go down and help others. But you're going to sign up and say, yeah, you know what? we want kids to know about Jesus, and this matters to God, and it matters to me, I'm in. And so today, before you leave, I'm going to have a sheet of paper at the information desk, and if you know that this is God's heart, and He's touching you, and He's going, you need to be a part of that, I want you to go out there and put your name down. And we're going to call you and invite you out to some training, and then we're going to talk about how this is going to look, and it's only a 3-week commitment. Let me dare you for a minute. Just try it. It's only going to be once between now and when Sunday school stops, or the children's program stops downstairs. And if you really hate it, you don't have to sign up again in September. But I guarantee you that if you pray for those kids, if you prepare and you go down there ready to be Jesus in their life, ready to care about their hurts and to care about their victories and to make a connection with a kid, you can alter a life forever. Here's where I want to stop. I want to tell you about John. I won't give you a last name. Some of you might know him. Everybody seems to know him. He lives in Saskatoon. And I was going through some stuff in my life that wasn't that great. I was making some bad decisions. And my dad didn't know anything. Heck, I was 19, 20 years old. I bought a big truck. I was starting to farm. I was a man. And John drove truck. And he went to my dad's church. And he hunted me down at coffee shops. And he called me up and said, hey, where are you going today? Hey, are you waiting in line over there? Hey. And he just had coffee. And he'd come and he'd look at my truck. And he'd pop the hood and he'd look at anything we'd done. And if I didn't know how to do something, he'd tell me about it. And he was my friend and he took an interest in my life. But John kept telling me, God made you for so much more than this. John believed in me. And John had a profound impact in changing the course of my life. And we can go back through history and just the friendship of someone in the life of a child has changed the course of their life. And God can use you to transform lives. But you have to be willing. You have to be ready to not be selfish, to take on the heart of God, to remove the hindrances, and to sign up and get involved. And no one can make that decision but you this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity in front of us that so many people don't know about you and so many children are growing up not knowing that you love them and have a plan for their life. I thank you for the many who have found you, and I thank you for the ministries that we have and the people that we have. And we just, by faith, ask you for so much more. If 6% of the homes out there aren't attending anywhere, if that many kids are out there, Lord, help us develop a program here, a something that we can bring them to where children will encounter you. Help us, Lord, to build into the lives of one another's children and to show your love for them and to model what it means and help them to grow and change their world. And so we just commit this morning to you. I pray that you would lay your hand on hearts, that people might respond, that we might be a place that reflects the heart of God and loves children. In your precious name we pray. Amen.